I mean pits. Pits. A number of years ago, I was taken out to one of the ranches where they brought me to a pit. And in this was a pit where they had thrown their garbage in for years and years and years. And somebody had climbed down there and actually had thrown up a lot of things. And among the things they had thrown out of the pit were some license plates, like 1923. And so I took them home and I tried to make them look good. I investigated what color they were supposed to be and even painted the correct color. They were taken out of the pit. But there are pits like that. But the pits I speak of today are figuratively speaking pits. Have any of you ever said, this is a pit? You ever said that? This is a pit. We find ourselves in the pit. Well, Jeremiah found himself in the pit. In fact, he found himself in two pits. And in Lamentations chapter 3, it says in verse 55, actually 53, they tried to end my life in a pit and threw stones at me. The waters closed over my head and I thought I was about to be cut off. I called on your name, O Lord, from the depths of the what? Pit. I called on your name, O Lord, from the depths of the pit. You heard my plea. Do not close your ears to my cry for relief. You came near when I called you, and you said, do not fear. The bottom line is simply this. We're going to find ourselves in a few minutes in some pits that we want to mention. And if when you're in that pit, you will just do what Jeremiah did, you're going to find a way out of the pit just like he did. Now, this Jeremiah, he was really some kind of a guy. Like, he was really a cool character. He was a guy who had hostility mounting up against him left and right. There were people who were saying, oh, he's leaving the town now. This is after he got out of the first pit. And he's a traitor. And Jeremiah says, no, I'm no traitor. But what Jeremiah was doing and what he was saying was this. He was somebody who was not afraid to oppose the opposition when the opposition was wrong, to the pro-Egyptian parties, for his denunciation of moral standing in high places, his outspoken words regarding the treatment of slaves, his stance that says, hey, I am a prophet of God, together with the guilty consciousness of the people and this and the whole crumbling policies of the government at that time, drew the conclusion that this guy was no good. We need to silence and zip his lip. And so to do this, they threw him in a pit. And he says, if he was here, he would say, you know, they chased me like a bird without cause. They put me in a dungeon. They put a stone upon the mouth so I would die. The first time they threw him in a pit was because he was just speaking so much against the establishment, and they beat him up. And then they pitched him in the pit. That pit, I think, had water in it because he said the water was getting over my head. And they put a stone over the mouth, too. In this one, he just seems to be sinking into the mire. But the title is this, Cries from the Pit. And the practical example of his experience of experiencing an answer from God, it's in keeping with one of the greatest promises in the Word of God. It's in Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. And this is such a good verse. Our experience in the pit is getting an answer from God, and it's in keeping with this scripture. Jeremiah 33, 3. Call to me, and I will what? I will answer you, and I will tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. So the idea is, call to me, and he says, I will hear you. I will hear you if you call to me. So first of all, let's look at the pits and their purposes. They're all kind of pits, pits that were put in the ground. And the purpose of pits was to catch animals. And I guess they would dig a hole as deep as they wanted to. In fact, would you believe it or not, I did this when I was about 8 years old. I dug this hole in the vacant lot next to our house. And it wasn't very deep. But I dug the hole, and then I put some branches across it. Then I put a layer of newspaper across it. Then I put some dirt across it. Then I put some leaves across it. And then I shuffled it out so it would look natural. Then I called my best friend, come over here. And he fell right in the pit. He fell in the pit. Of course, as I look back upon it, that wasn't a very smart thing to do. We didn't have insurance at that time either. And he could have hurt himself. But he fell in. He got mad at me, of course. But I dug a pit. But that's exactly what they would do in years gone by to grab, get animals so you can eat. Now you go to Safeway or Fairway and just get the meat. But years gone by, you had to dig a pit or you had to do something in getting that game. But there are instances in the Bible where pits were made so wild animals could be caught. So that's pits and their purposes. Secondly, pits that were real. Some guys who really fell into a pit beside Jeremiah. Anybody come to your mind right now? Joseph. He was put in a what? He was put in the pit. Apparently the pit was deep enough that he couldn't get out of the pit. Because he could just, well, I'm getting out of here and climb right out. He couldn't get out. He was, and you're going to see how in a little bit how we relate it to ourselves. He was bodily taken and put into a pit. And then the guys he put in prison later. But that was the pit. When he was put into prison. Other guys like David. David said, without cause, they have dug a pit for me. And if you want to, turn your Bible to Psalm, and in the book of Psalms 40, for example. Psalm 40, verse 2. Psalm 42. Somebody read that, would you please? Okay. Now who is he lifted me up? God. He's our source of strength when we are in the pits too. And then while we're in the Psalms, go to number 69, if you will. 69, verse 15. Somebody read, would you? Psalm 69, 15. Okay. Don't let this happen to me. So David, of course, we feel was in a pit, certainly his pit of experiences. Jehoahaz was trapped in a pit, according to Ezekiel's writing. And then the other person that comes to my mind who was put in a pit, and think real hard, starts with a D. And in that pit, what did they do on, how did they close the door? They rolled a... When Jesus was put into his... They rolled a... To keep him in. In the case of Daniel, Daniel could not get out, but God got in and saved him. So we see how why we have pits and their purposes, pits that were real. But now pits that you can find yourself in. I've been in a pit. I've been in several pits. And you've been in these pits too. And either you have fallen into these pits, and we're going to mention some, either you have fallen in or you have been pushed into these pits. And I got to thinking of the people that I know in the congregation, people who come and go. And I've listed several pits, and I've listed them, and I'm going to list them slowly so you can tag these pits, if you will. And I would not doubt if every one of us can say, hey, I've got two of these pits. The first pit is a personal problem. So we all jump in this pit, okay? The pit of a personal problem. The second pit that you can find yourself in is sickness. The third pit is a family problem. Another pit is financial difficulties. Another is the loss of material possessions. Another is a work problem. Another pit is a husband and wife relationship. Another is discouragement. And another is the loss of loved ones. Now either you, as you identify with some of these, personal problems, sickness, family problems, financial situations, loss of material possessions, work problem, husband and wife relationship, discouragement, loss of loved ones. You probably list more. But these are pits that either you have gotten into willfully by saying, I'm just going to get into that pit. You willfully do something, or you have gotten into these pits because someone has pushed you into the pit. In the Bible, there's a story of a guy who went into a pit and he killed a lion on a snowy day, the scripture says. I do believe that Satan pushes us into pits from time to time. And we've got to get out of a pit. The way we get out of a pit is by calling upon the Lord, Jeremiah 33:3. Sometimes we get into the pits because we say, well, as one singer used to sing, I've done it my way. You know, I'll do it my way. And because of that, our way is not always a good way. We just will get into a pit. And sometimes, maybe you're like me sometimes. Sometimes you know, you wonder about it and you just, well, get right on the edge, right on the edge. And then you're so close to it, yielding to temptation, that you fall into the pit. So we get into it by willful disobedience, or we get into it by being pushed in by someone or by Satan. In the case of Jeremiah, for example, he was certainly pushed in. So let's go to Jeremiah again, 38, if you will. Jeremiah 38. They took Jeremiah. They take him to the king's son's house, and they go to the cistern, to the pit. And they lower Jeremiah by ropes into the cistern. It had no water in it, only mud, and Jeremiah sank down into the mud. Can you see this? Oh, he just gooey. Just sunk right down. But Abimelech, a Cushite, an official in the royal palace, heard that they had put Jeremiah into the cistern. While the king was sitting in the Benjamin Gate, which was a place where many kings would sit often, Ebed-Meshach went out of the palace and said to him, "My lord, the king, these men have acted wickedly in all they have done to Jeremiah the prophet. They have thrown him into a cistern where he will starve to death when there is no longer any bread in the city." So the king commands him, "I want you to go get a group of men, say maybe 30 guys, and you go to the pit and you lift Jeremiah out of it before he dies." He goes first back to the palace and he gets rags and some clothes that are all worn out, and then some ropes, and he goes back to Jeremiah and he says, "Jeremiah, I want you to put these rags and these all worn out clothes under your arms to pad the ropes." And Jeremiah did it. And then they pulled him up with the rope, and they lifted him up out of the cistern, and then Jeremiah remained in the courtyard of the guard. In this situation, he had no control over his pit. And some of the pits that we find ourselves in that we mentioned earlier, we really have no control. We have just been put there. But while we're there, we cry out in Jeremiah 33:3, and God says, "I'm going to hear you." And oftentimes, when you pray for somebody, the answer to the prayer is where? At the end of your arm. "God, please bless Aunt Susie." Well, you can be the answer to that person's prayer. So he's praying, that is Jeremiah, to get out of this pit, and God sends somebody, and the whole point of that is to mention this, that we can be answers to people's prayers and get them out of the pit. This is what body ministry. This is what it's all about in praying for one another, to help a person who is in these different situations. So if we've seen the pits that you can find yourself in, and hopefully you've tagged a couple of, maybe two of them, the next point is this. What are the pits' responses? So I say to myself, how am I going to respond to this pit that I'm in right now? What am I going to do? Obviously, everybody wants out of their pits. Isaiah 51 talks about three concerns of a prisoner in a pit. They want to be liberated, that they don't want to die, and they don't want to starve. And, of course, all this is found in Jesus. Job 34:28 says, "He will deliver your soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light." I heard this story once of a lady who had a dream that she was in a pit, deep, deep in the pit. She tried to climb up, but as she would hold on to the brickwork, she got a little high. She's doing pretty good. You know, she's off the ground 4 or 5 feet, and then she looked back down and fell back down. She looked up. She could see, you know, can you picture that? She looks up. She sees a circle at the entrance to the pit, and she could see a star up there in the night. Anyway, so she starts to climb up again, and she gets halfway up by holding and by climbing, grasping, and then, you know what she does? "Wow, I've come along. You've come a long way, baby. Oh, I've come along." And then she fell back down. 3 times. Once she was almost at the top, crumbled down. And then she looked up while in that muddy experience of the pit, and she caught the star. And she looked at the star. She kept her eyes gazing on the star while she started climbing up higher and higher and higher and higher and higher. Got to the top, swung her leg over, got completely out. Because what did she do? Kept her eyes on the star. Who's the bright and morning star? You keep your eye on the star while you're in that pit. Now here are 4 things that I have found work, and I'm sure you have too. They all start with a P. Here are our pit's responses. First of all, pray. Some people, believe it or not, only pray when they're in difficult situations, and not every day, unfortunately. But if you're in the pit, you don't want to stay in the pit, so you are going to pray. Psalm 69:15, for example, says, you don't have to turn to it, just listen. Psalm 69:15. It says, "Do not let the flood waters engulf me, or the depths swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Answer me, Lord." So that is the first thing we do. We pray. We pray out of these deep places that we're in. And the 3 requests in here was, "God, hear my voice, let your ears hear my prayer, and put my hope in you." So the first thing to do is pray. And you'll say, "Well, I always do that." And you probably do when you're in a pit. You pray. The second thing is this, is to praise. Now, everybody can't raise their hand. Because sometimes, and I've had people tell me, "How do you expect me, Pastor, to praise the Lord when I am in this situation?" But it works. How many remember the story of Paul and Silas in Acts 16? They were in, and it was a pit. In the dungeon. And what did they do? Oh, Paul, this is so bad. Look how heavy these chains are, and the clamps around my feet, and my, oh, this is so bad, and I wish I could go do this or that. Did they do all that kind of stuff? What did they do? They sang, and they praised God. And what happened when they did that? Chains fell off, earthquake, and they all got out. They all got out. But they were in a pitiful experience. Prayed and praised. And the third thing, which is more difficult to do, that I've written down, and that is to proclaim the presence of God. So yesterday when I was in one of my pits, I just went to the living room. I just said, "Nancy, I'm going to go sit in the green chair." I just sat there, and I just sort of practiced the presence of God. Now, my situation didn't change a bit in the 2 pits I was thinking about. Didn't change a bit. But what did change was my attitude toward the pit. I had practiced the presence of God. In Isaiah 41:10, and this is the biggie. It's really big to be still in situations like this. In Isaiah 41:10, it's the word pit is not here, but I choose it because it's what we do when we're in the pit. "Don't fear, I am with you." We're practicing the presence of God. "Do not fear, I am with you. Do not fear, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God." Look at all these eyes. "I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Practicing the presence of God. I say it's a biggie because it's really hard to do, and I don't know how everybody does that, but it's important that we practice the presence of God. Maybe you could share with us, if you wish, what are some things that you do when you try to practice the presence of God? Anyone want to share? I just like to sit still, put my mind in neutral. And that's really difficult for me, Nancy knows that. Put my mind in neutral. Okay. Okay. That's good. Well, however you do it, and if you've never done it, I want to motivate you too. It's just to practice the presence. Sometimes I act like I'm going to a blackboard with all the situations that I'm involved in, and I erase everything, and I get a clean erase. Yeah, and then sometimes it's still all fuzzy. So I get a wet rag, and I just wipe it all off. Complete, clean.
The Lord has often told me to bask in the warmth of my love for you.
Good.
And a lot of times I have to stop and say, do you love me? According to your words, you do love me. You love me enough to be concerned for me. And just realize you call to mind the wondrous love of the Father.
Good. Well, I don't think we comprehend that love as much as we should. But just to be still before God, that is so hard because most of us just want to start talking. Pray, praise, practice His presence. And then Psalm 40, verse 1 through 3. Exercise some patience. Psalm 40, 1, 2, and 3. The two psalms before number 40, David was just sort of telling how he had prayed and how he had waited. And now Psalm 40, how he succeeds. You know, the longer I stayed, the deeper I sank, unable to save myself. But then he says, I waited patiently. Here's the word patiently. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me. Not to anybody else, but he turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the slimy pit. Out of the mud and mire, he set my feet on a rock, and he gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God, and many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. This is the patience. If we are prisoners of a pit, we must be prisoners of hope. And the hope comes as a result of the patience that we have. Now, in conclusion, Jeremiah said in Lamentations 3:52, they tried to destroy me. They tried to destroy me by casting me in a pit. You pray and God will deliver. God Himself will deliver you out of your pit. Or He will send somebody, like in the case of Jeremiah, and let that person get you out of that pit. Psalm 30 says, O Lord, I called for help and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints of the Lord, and praise His holy name. Can we do that? Can we do that? The bottom line scripture is this, Jeremiah 2:6. Lord, lead us through a land of pits. Those are the words in Jeremiah 2:6. Lead me through a land of pits. And we do have these pits. They may not be real camouflaged pits that we could fall into, but we got these other pits that are just as real when we find ourselves in them. Cries from the pit. Let's stand, may we? Lord Jesus, we are in these pits. We are in these pits and we need help. We need your help, Lord. I pray that the message this day, God, has helped us, me and us all, to have a different perspective and to realize that there is help and we will keep our eyes on you. And then we will be very careful about our stumbling ourselves or our falling in these pits ourselves, but we will be strong in the Lord and not go into these pits by willful disobedience. But as we find ourselves in pits, being pushed by the evil one, or maybe by someone else, we would know what to do when we're there. God, we bless you that you are with us in our pit, and the experiences that we have tagged, we don't want to just go over so nonchalantly. These are serious situations that we are in. They're serious. And for some, even matters of life and death. But we bless you, Father God, that you've showed us through the guidebook what to do and how we can participate in Christ from the pit. God, your blessings upon us. Your blessings upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here today and you would like prayer, we'd like to pray for you. Ask God's blessings upon you in any way they perform for anybody. And let's just for a moment just contemplate what we've heard, may we?